But this morning, I'd like to draw your attention to Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. Interesting reading, one of the most unique stories in all of the New Testament. And I am extremely bothered by the rise of demonic activity. It seems like every other TV channel that you turn to, there's another station from someone from Mars now ministering to Earth. And I see how the enemy has opened the eyes and the hearts of the people here to understand that that illusion will one day become probably a reality. You remember when E.T. became drunk, then the little boy became drunk. And if you remember back at the very beginning how ugly E.T. was and how cute he was at the very end of the show, you realize just the power of the media. You look into the pagan invasion that is definitely coming our way, and you begin to realize that the occults and cults are on the rise, and it is going to become even more difficult, and the power of darkness is going to dig in deeper because we are living in the very last days. And there are so many questions concerning demon activity and what is taking place, and we don't see a lot of it because we're here in the United States and the gospel is pretty much out there. But we will probably see more and more because of the hatred towards Christ in these very last days. And I want you to understand up front that I do not believe that Christians can ever be demon possessed. I think that's important to understand from this pulpit and from Calvary Chapel, that we believe that once you are saved and filled with the Spirit of God, then Satan can never occupy that temple. But if you are unsaved and your house is empty, then you can be possessed. And as we begin to see the Ouija boards and the drugs and pharmakeia, which is the word we get drugs from, pharmakeia, which we believe that through drugs is the door that which Satan begins to get into. We know that music is another door that the enemy is seeking to get into. Those are extreme danger areas in our lives. And so as we look at Mark chapter 5, I think it'd be good for us to take a look and to read through before we even start. And they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there went from him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stone. And when he saw Jesus coming off, afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, for the unclean spirit." And he answered him, "What is thy name?" He answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many," 6,823 to be exact. And he besought him much that he would not send them away of the country. Now there were there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding pigs. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us unto the pigs, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the pigs. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. They drowned. And they that fed the pigs fled and told in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, seeing him, that was possessed with a devil had a legion setting clothed in his right mind. Underline that, setting clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell him and him who was possessed with a devil, and also concerning the pigs. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with a devil prayed him that he might go with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how the great things the Lord has done for thee and has compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all the men did marvel. Father, we thank you this morning that you can help us understand some of these difficult areas in your word, that we would not be caught off guard, but Lord, you would give us great wisdom, great insight, and we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 5 is really a chapter that has to do with incredible victories concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. We ended up in chapter 4 with his great victory over that dangerous boat trip across the Sea of Galilee. Here in verses 1 through 20, we see the victory over the demons. Then we will take a look at verses 21 through 34, his victory over disease, and how the Lord was able to heal, you remember, the woman with the issue of blood. And then tonight, victory over death, where Jairus' daughter finally died, and it was the Lord Jesus Christ that brought her back from the dead. So his victory over difficult situations, crossing over of the Sea of Galilee, difficulties when there was a man who was demon-possessed, difficulties when a father was about ready to lose his daughter, and a woman crying out because she was diseased, and difficulties when all of a sudden a father's daughter died and he was able to raise her from the dead. But what we'd like to look at this morning is verses 1 through 20, like to break it up in four different areas. In verses 1 through 5, we see the condition of the man. The condition of the man. The place of the dead, the verses 1 through 5. Notice, they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadareans. So if you want to say Gerasenes, some say that, but I like at Gadareans, which was a place where the tribe of Gad settled. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. A couple things under the condition of this man. Number one, I find it interesting here in verse 2 that he was living among the tombs, which would be symbolic that he was dead. Though he was alive, he was dead spiritually. He was isolated from fellowship. He was possessed with an unclean spirit. He was driven into these caves and into this place of burial. And we find, according to Leviticus, that the tombs were unclean. And there were a lot of unclean things within this chapter. There were the tombs that were unclean. There was the spirit that was unclean. There were the pigs that were unclean. And yet I find that Jesus Christ was willing to come to a tomb that was unclean, to a man who was unclean, and to a society that were in violation of really the Word of God. The Jews had no business having pigs. The Gadareans, or Gad, you remember in your Bible stories in the Old Testament, they were to go into the land of promise. But Gad, Reuben, and half the tribe of Manasseh came to Moses and they said, "We want to stay on this side of the promised land. We don't want to go into the promised land. We want to stay out here so we can raise our cattle because the grass is absolutely gorgeous on this side." Moses heard their cry, waited upon the Lord, came back and said, "If you will go in and fight with us, when we have conquered the land, then you may go back over and you may live outside of the land. It is not God's best, but you can do that." I find it interesting that whenever you settle for second best, the next time it becomes easier to sin within your life. Because they were willing to settle outside of the promised land, because they were unwilling to come in to God's very best, they begin to raise cattle. And of course, when they were attacked by the enemy, they were always the first one being attacked. Years later, we find these same Gadareans who descended here in this area of Jerusalem, in this area by the Sea of Galilee, now beginning to raise pigs. So outside of the will of God, beginning to raise cows, now beginning to raise the pigs. And so this was an unclean situation all the way around. In verse 2, it declared that he had an unclean spirit. Notice in verse 15 that he was clothed. Notice in verse 15 that he was in his right mind. And notice in verse 15, he was setting. Luke in chapter 8 tells us that he was running around naked, completely naked, cutting himself. We also read, according to Matthew, that he was wild, that he would be chasing people down the street and cutting himself, and he would be bleeding. And then we also understand that he was mentally deranged. He was beside himself, and he was incredibly powerful because the chains that once held him, he was able to break, and so he was gaining in strength. He was unclean. He was isolated. Thirdly, he was uncontrollable in verse 3 and 4. He was living among the tombs in verse 1. He was unclean in verse 2. He was out of control or uncontrollable in verse 3 and 4. Who had his dwelling among the tombs? No man could bind him, no man with chains, because he had been often bound with shackles and chains. The chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the shackles broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. So no one could bind him. No change could hold him, and no one could tame him. And one more thing I find about the condition of this man in verse 5, always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stone. He was constantly tormented. So here is an interesting picture of a non-believer. A picture of a man who is possessed with a legion, a devil, actually, if you want to be correct, 6,832 demons at one time. We know there has to be at least 2,000 because there were 2,000 pigs that the demons came into. Some would try to say that the man's name was Legion. Legion was a term of the Roman government, and so a legion or an army of legion would be 6,832 men. But here was a man who was absolutely out of control, living as though he was dead. He was unclean. In the Greek, it means that he was beside himself. He was wicked. had an evil reputation of being wicked. He was running naked. He was beside himself mentally. He was ballistic. He was just out of control, and no man could tame him. Day and night, he was cutting himself. And when you think, just for a moment, that that's what we were like before we came to Christ. I remember vividly what I was like before Christ. Chasing things down the street, trying to shoot things on my own neighborhood. Out of control, carrying a gun, shooting at neighbors' houses. I mean, I was possessed, I don't know. I was bonkers. I was ballistic. I was filled with LSD and out of control and wanting to blow up things, and that's how God looked at me. That's how not I looked at myself, but that's how God looks at me. And this is a good picture of how horrible and rotten a person is standing next to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You remember it says in Revelation chapter 3 that you are naked, you are blind. Jesus Christ said, buy of me and I will clothe you and I will feed you. And so a man apart from Christ is a horrible picture, and this is a pretty good description of humanity. Oh, those who are non-believers or those of you that have maybe never accepted Christ would say, well, I'm really a great person. Well, maybe in your eyes or maybe in my eyes, but in the eyes of the Lord, you're out of control. You're running naked. You're doing damage. And Jesus Christ is willing to stand before you and to show you the real condition of your heart that you have never shared with anyone. It's not a frightening thing. It's a wonderful thing when God begins to show you who you really are. But I also notice in verses 6 through 13, the cries of the demons. The cries of these demons. And in verse 6 through 7, we see the demons who dreaded Christ. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Now, a couple of things I notice about the demons. And I want you not to be afraid of the devil. I want you to be wise, but I want you to fear God. And I want you to understand the power of God. And I want you to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. But I do want you to understand that one drop of the blood of Jesus Christ will cause Satan to flee. And so I read here, they bowed before him. Every man, regardless of Christian or non-believer, under the earth, above the earth, in the heavens, all will bow before the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, God did something kind of unique to me last night. I was reading this, thinking from a demonic situation, and God very simply said to me, not to you, Stephen, if they understand that much and they bow, why aren't you bowing before me as often? Well, I was pretty convicted, but I had to share that with you because I didn't want to hold that conviction back just for me. But it was so devastating because here, if I don't believe what Jesus has said, at least to believe what the devils believe. And they believe that they have to bow before the Son of God. And notice they had to ask, what have I to do with thee? And then they had to confess, thou art the Son of God. And then they had to beg him, torment us not. Because their time was coming up. Their day was going to be doomed. And so we see they dreaded Christ. And Satan fears Christ. And the demons dread Christ. And when Christ is in my heart, then the enemy is afraid of you. That's why Paul said, be in Christ, be full of Christ, be strengthened in Christ, because that is your strength. You remember the story in the book of Acts where they tried to cast out that demon. And the demon said to those who were seeking to cast out the demon, "Hey, Paul we know, and Jesus we know, but who are you?" That's a bad place to be. And they ran down the street and they were naked by the time the demons got done with them. So you need to come and stand before these demonic forces with Jesus Christ, and he has conquered, he has destroyed, he has put out of business the power of evil. And so they dread Christ. I also realize in verses 8 through 10, they dread their destiny. The demons dread their destiny. "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, the unclean spirits. And he asked him, What is thy name? He answered and said, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country." Now it's interesting, these demonic spirits are spirits looking to dominate a body. Here they were willing to occupy a human body, and here they were willing to occupy a pig. But they are and will possess that which has a body. And when Jesus cast them out of the man, they did not want to be without a body. And so he sent them in to the pigs. And of course, we know the story. They ran over the side. And many of the commentators suggest that this is your first reference to devil's ham. But I don't know. But they besought him that he would not come. And so the place, what are you going to do with us? But also I find interesting in Matthew chapter 8, verse 29, "And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" And boy, it stuck out like a sore thumb. They know that at the very end, they are going to be tormented. And the question was arising, are you here to judge us? Are you here to throw us into the pit? Are you here to destroy our lives, or do we still have time? And boy, when you understand that, you realize Satan has nothing to lose except to take you out. And so he is bent on seeking to bring great harm to the body of Christ. And so we realize in verse 11 and 13, the demons were doomed. "Now therefore, there was nigh unto a mountain a great herd of pigs feeding. And the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the pigs, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out, entered into the swines, and the herd violently ran down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea." So the condition of the man was out of control. Then we find the cries of the demons. Are you here to bring us to our destiny? We need to bow before your authority, and we would like you to throw us into these pigs that we would be able to be embodied by a body. Jesus simply said, "What is your name?" And simply said, "Into the pigs you go." That was his authority. Now I find in verse 15 through 17 the concern of the people. And this will make a little bit more sense. In verse 14 through 17, "And they that fed the pigs fled and took it to their city and in their country, telling everyone that their 2,000 pigs that they had raised illegally in Jerusalem had now perished. And they went out to see what it was that was done." 2,000 pigs floating upside down. "And they come to Jesus and see him, and was possessed with a devil, and had the legion he was setting," underline, "clothed," underline, "in his right mind." So this man was setting, no longer unable to be tamed. He was clothed, no longer running nakedly, and he was in his right mind, able to maintain a conversation. and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell him that who was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the pigs. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. I think the first thing I realize concerning the people is found in verse 14, that the people were unbelievably upset. Their business had now been destroyed. They had no business raising pigs, and I don't believe that they were eating these pigs. I believe a Jew is a Jew and would always stay away from eating the pork or having nice bacon right now. But because God has placed within the Jewish mind the ability to make money, and we realize that through our history, and God gave him that ability way back in Babylon, I realize that they understood that there were a lot of Gentiles that enjoyed bacon. And so though they were not eating the pig, they were raising the pig, and they were in violation of Scripture. They had compromised the Word of God. Now, I do find it interesting that they couldn't go back and tell the Sanhedrin what Jesus did. Can you imagine if they came before the Sanhedrin and said, hey, we just lost 2,000 of our animals because of Jesus? Well, where was this? Oh, by over here by the Gadareans. And what type of animals were they? Well, that's not important. I just lost 2,000 of them. They couldn't go back and tell the Sanhedrin. And they couldn't really make a stink about it in Israel. All they could do is, Jesus, would you get out of here? And I find that sometimes God just comes into our businesses and just turns them upside down. And God is seeking to get our attention. And oftentimes we begin to realize that we won't give him our attention. But I also realize in verse 15 that he's able to change. And here was a man who was setting clothed in his right mind. And to show you the danger of all business, the danger of compromise, the danger of losing your heart, is they were more concerned about their business transaction than about the transformation of a man's life. They were more concerned about how they were going to succeed in life with their financial equity than they were concerning this man's own integrity. Here was a man who had chased them, a man who was running naked, embarrassing their community, screaming, yelling, cussing, who was setting clothed in his right mind, smiling, standing next to Jesus Christ. And they could not, nor would they, give God or Jesus Christ the glory, nor would they even talk to this man. Because this man was the consequence of what we have here, no pigs. And it is possible to put pigs before people. It is extremely possible to put business before Christ. It is possible to place ministry before fellowship. And Jesus Christ is seeking to turn the table. Look what I've done in this man's life. And they looked at this man sitting clothed in his right mind, and they said, would you please go? You've done enough damage here. You have destroyed our families. We don't care about this man. We just want our pigs back. And I find in verse 17, they begin to pray him to depart out of their coast. In other words, they made their choice. They rejected Jesus Christ. And lastly, the challenge of this man, the condition of this man, the cries of the demons in verses 6 through 13, the concerns of the people 5 through 17, and then in verse 18 through 20, the challenge of this man. And when he was come into the ship, he got into the ship. He had been possessed with a devil, prayed him that he might be with him. So when the man came, jumped into the ship and said, let's go, Jesus. Verse 19, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends, tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee, and had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis, which means 10 in the Greek, 10 cities, each about 25,000, so a 250,000 population, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all the men did marvel. So, first of all, I find out that in verse 18, he simply says, Jesus, let me come. I'm in the boat. Man, I'm ready to go. You have changed my life. There's nothing I want to go back to. And Jesus simply said, no, you need to go back. Now, two things stand out to me. Number one, what a tremendous ability to leave and take off with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think that was a situation, though you could teach that. If it was me, I wouldn't want to go back to the city that they were all mad at me. He had no friends. Have you ever noticed that? That when you came to Christ, you had to start all over again with friends? And the very friends that you used to party with are now mad at you. Because you now are a self-righteous person. Well, Jesus knew that he had to confront those with his newfound faith. No, you go back to that city. I'll be with you. But you go and share the testimony. Jesus secondly said in verse 19, go tell what I have done for you. Just simply go share who you are, what you are. They knew what you were before. You were naked. You were bleeding. You were cursing. You were chasing them. Now just walk among them and talk to them. That's all you need to do. You don't need to convince them. They're already marveling at the work that I've done in your life. Just go talk to them. Just go walk among them. And by the way, tell them about my love, the compassion I have showed towards you. And lastly, don't stay just in the city, but get out. Get a life. And so we read in verse 18 that he began to travel all the way through these 10 different cities, sharing the tremendous witness of who he was. Now, when I look at the story here in a nutshell, I realize that many things took place. We find that this man was crying out to the Lord. We find the demons crying out to the Lord. We find the city crying out to the Lord. And we find the people crying out to the Lord. We find that Jesus Christ said no to the man who came to know him. You need to go back. God has done a work in our lives, and we need now to go out and share with the world about Jesus Christ. You were once in darkness, but now you are in that marvelous light. You were once a child of darkness, but you're now the child of light. Either you are the child of the devil, or you are the child of Jesus Christ. And so the choice is black and white. It is simply, which side do I want to be on? The great thing is that Jesus Christ came to the man who had the greatest need. His nakedness did not scare him. His screaming did not scare him. His wild life did not scare him. Nothing scared him. I imagine the disciples were probably still back in the boat. Jesus, you go on. And what makes the story even more exciting? Matthew tells us it was all done at night. What a great lick. I mean, in a day, that's one thing. But at night, man, now you got a horror flick. This would be a great flick. I mean, just add a little bit of night to the whole story, and it is spooky. Little dry fog, waves coming up quick, voices in the background. We're going to get you. We're going to get you. And Jesus standing on the shore. You're a free man. Father, we ask that, Lord, you would help us to understand the power you've given to us. Lord, what Satan desires to do, and the ultimate end is always suicide. Father, we thank you that you came to give us life and that more abundantly. And Lord, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe there are some of you that have never come to know Jesus Christ, and your house is empty, and there are weird things going on in your life. Or maybe you've walked away from the Lord, and the emptiness and the barrenness is beginning to overcome you. Well, Jesus Christ wants to fill your heart. He wants to occupy your home. He wants to fill your life with His love. If you'd like to ask Christ to come in or to rededicate your life, would you simply raise your hand that I might pray for you this morning? God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you. Don't hesitate. Anybody else? Raise them high. God bless you. Father, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we stand?
More good study from Pastor Steve Mays. Now, if you'd like to know more about the many resources available through Light of the Word, call us at 1-800-339-WISE. And we'll be glad to send the complete catalog your way. And thanks for listening. Once again, here's Pastor Steve.
One of the great things you can do is pass this tape on to someone else that you might know that needs it or will just receive a blessing. Continue to stay in touch. Keep us in prayer. We'll be praying for you. God bless.
So follow